Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are going to be studying together Mizmor Lamed Tes, the 39th psalm in the book of Tehillim. This is a very fascinating Mizmor, a certainly understudied and underappreciated one. Let's start at the very beginning. In terms of overview and structure, this Mizmor is comprised of 14 psukim and is divided into three general sections. The first pasuk, of course, is the Kotevet, is the inscription, which reads, Lamanatzeach Lidusun, Mizmor LaDavid. This is a psalm to Yedusun, which is a song conducted by David. We have to work out what Yedusun means. We'll come back to that later. The three natural sections are Psukim Beis to Dalet. That's the first section in which he talks about his silence and how he is now setting himself up to be able to speak, to be able to express himself. In the second section, which is Hey to Zion, 5 to 7, he talks about the emptiness of human life in general. And finally, the last section, Ches to Yedalet, the end, which is 8 to 14, is his prayer and hope in Hashem. In terms of the theme, it seems like there is an emotional journey going on over here. At the very beginning, in section 1, the Meshorer, the narrator, is undergoing the beginning of the journey where he is suffering terribly. The adversity he faces, whether it be sickness, whether it be his enemies, as we've seen in the previous Mizmor and other Mizmorim, he's suffering terribly, and he feels that he can't speak about it. He feels the anger building up inside of him. So, for example, in Pasuk Gimel, Ne'elamti dumiyah hecheshesi mitov ukevi ne'akar. I am silent. I feel like I'm being hecheshesi mitov. I'm not speaking of either good or words, and my pain is blocked up. So he's feeling this terrible pain. He can't express it, which lays the way for the next section in which he does express himself, and he feels that really there is a meaninglessness to be found in life, an inherent meaninglessness, where he says, you've measured my day in my life in handbreadths. Everything about humanity is empty. There's no real meaning in anything, because he sees all the suffering, he's experiencing the suffering, which finally leads him to the last major section of his journey, which is the last section of his Mizmor, where he begs for mercy. And he says, remove from me your plagues, all the suffering that you placed in my life, Hashem, because I'm being consumed by what's going on. So there's a silence, there's expression of futility and frustration, and then a prayer to remove that. It is interesting, if you look at the conclusion of this Mizmor, unlike many other Mizmorim in Tehillim, where there seems to be a sentiment of either hope, salvation, or thanks at the end, there doesn't seem to be a resolution in this Mizmor. He carries on praying, but he doesn't seem to give any indication that he is confident that he will be answered, which seems to be quite strong and also unusual, certainly in the first book of Tehillim, towards which we are coming to the end of. In terms of other books that this is similar, this actually does hold very many parallels to the book of Iov, where you talk about a person who's suffering on numerous levels, whether it be financially, physically, emotionally, like Iov, and both of them felt silent at the beginning. They kept quiet through their suffering, and ultimately they expressed their terrible frustration at the end. The difference between this and the book of Iov is that here the Meshorer, the narrator, recognizes that his suffering is for his own actions. He says very explicitly for a number of times, for instance, in Pasuk Yud Beis, "B'tochachos alavon yisarta ish," through the rebukes of his sin, you made people suffer. So it seems that he does take responsibility for it, but the only question he is questioning over here is he feels that it's too crippling. He feels that the punishment which he's getting has destroyed his body, has destroyed his life too fast. He doesn't feel like he had enough time to be able to get through it. That seems to be, as opposed to Iov who knows he was innocent. Iov knows there was no action upon which you could hang any reason for culpability for this punishment, which is how it differs. There, of course, is an interesting parallel to Koheles and the writer of Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech, when he describes looking at the world, he also describes, I call Havel, everything is meaningless, which is the similar language to this Mizmor. The only interesting thing is that that this Mizmor arrives at the emptiness and the meaninglessness of life through suffering, whereas Koheles seems to arrive at it through opulence, where he's engaged everything, he's tried everything, and it hasn't worked out. But they arrive at a similar conclusion. In terms of events behind this Mizmor, very hard to identify a specific event. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, he uses a very fascinating expression where he says, "Hazino el dimasi," Hashem, please listen to my tears, which the Gemara tells us, by the way, just tangentially, that all the gates of prayer may have been closed, but the gates of tears are always open. The Gemara tells us in numerous places based on this Pasuk. He says, "Al techerash," don't keep quiet, "ki geron achimach V'toshav k'chol avosai, I'm a sojourner, I'm a stranger in your midst, and I am like a resident, like my forefathers. Those are two words in tension with one another. A ger is a person who's not a settler, is not a resident, and a toshav is the opposite of that. So how does this work exactly? So it is interesting to notice that before in Tanakh, there have been usages of this. So for instance, in Dira Yamim Aleph, Perek Chav Tes, the very end of Dira Yamim, Perek Pasuk Tezvav, when David HaMelech is describing the end of his life, the salvation that he's experienced, he says, Ki gerim anachnu lefonecha v'toshavim k'chol avoseinu. We are sojourners and dwellers and residents like our fathers, which sounds very similar to this. There's Mizmor indicating that it's certainly David HaMelech who is speaking, and the sentiment is his. It is important to notice that he's not the first person to use this. In Parshas Chayei Sarah, Bereshis Chof Gimel Dalad, that's when Avraham Avinu, when addressing the Bnei Ches, the people of the land, he says, Ger v'toshava nechi emochem, I am a resident alien among you. And that's why he's asking for this burial plot. It's fascinating that it seems to be almost the condition of Jews, of Israel, throughout all of history with the rest of the world. And that is, on the one hand, they are a ger, they're always strange, they're always distinct, they always have their own culture, which is usually counter-cultural. At the same time, they're a toshav, they're invested in the cultures that they are in. And that's the tension that every Jew experiences and every Jewish society experiences, wherever they are to be found, whichever country they are found in. And this is what seems to be expressed over here in this mizmor as well. In terms of the Malbim actually points out that this may not be referring to an event, but may be referring to the very human condition, with not outside Israel to the world, but a person within themselves. So for instance, the Malbim explains that this refers to the soul and the body. The body is a resident in this world, it belongs in this world, it's physical, it has physical desires, it experiences things through the five physical apertures of senses. But at the same time, there is the soul. The soul is really the ger. The ger, it is a sojourner, it is not... It is a alien to this world, and when the time is up, and although the body and all its suffering will disappear, the soul will continue. The soul will last forever, for eternity. And therefore, that's the relationship that he's remarking on over here. And it is relevant to the general theme of the Mizmor, as the Malbim points out, to know that suffering is not the be-all and end-all, death is not the be-all and end-all. There is a much larger story, which is unfolding. In terms of places this appears in the Tefillah, it does not really appear in the Tefillah, this Mizmor in particular. We'll notice as well that this seems to be more thematic of the third book of Tehillim, which is much darker, and a lot of those Mizmorim don't appear in our Tefillah at all. Our Tefillah in general is more upbeat, and usually pulls most of the Tefillah from the fourth and fifth book, and occasionally from the first book of Tehillim. So it's interesting that these Mizmorim, which are heavy, don't seem to generally make it to our Tefillah, our common Siddur. In terms of just Psukim in the spotlight, just two focuses this morning, and one is the first pasuk, which is that it says Lamanatzeach is for the conductor Lidusun, for Yedusun Mizmor David. What does that mean? Who is Yedusun? What is Yedusun exactly? Rashi already presents us three options. He says that it could be that it's actually the name of a Levi who was in the Mikdash. And he was a person who conducted. He was a conductor, like we're going to see Asaf and Heman later on. We're going to meet them. There were also Levim in the temple. We can find them in Direi Hayamim. Yedusun was also one of these, and therefore this was either composed for him or by him. Another option is that it was a klei shir hoya, misham sheshmo Yedusun. It could be a musical instrument that was being used when playing this particular mizmor. And finally, Rashi quotes a Midrash Agada that says that this refers to the word dat. Like, so Yedusun, the root is dat. Yedutun means the datot valadinim vagzerot shel tzara hanigzeros al Yisrael. It refers to the gzeros, the evil decrees placed on Israel, and therefore that sort of puts this mizmor in a more global national scheme, where the suffering and the pain over here is not simply the pain of an individual, but the pain of a nation. That's what the word Yedutun comes to refer to. It is interesting just to focus on one other pasuk over here before we close, and that is pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis is a very fascinating pasuk for a number of reasons. If we take a quick look at it, it goes, Amarti eshmara derocha mechatoi, vilshoni eshmara lefi machsoim bo'od rasha lenegdi. I resolved that I would watch my step, lest I offend my speech. I would keep my mouth muzzled while the wicked man was in my presence. The idea of machsom lepi, the idea of harnessing one's mouth, is a very important theme in this mizmor. He does not want to shout out, he does not want to call out Hashem. The Midrash Tehillim says a very famous story over here, which talks about a king in Persia who was on his deathbed, and he turned to his doctors and said, what should we do? The doctors recommended that if he was able to drink lion's milk, he would ultimately have a quick healing. So he put up a competition, and he said, whoever can do this will be rewarded duly. And there was a fellow who comes up and says, you know, I will, if you give me 10 goats, I'll be able to do this. That's what he does. He goes off to a lion's den, and he puts, there's a lion there, and every day he puts a goat out, and every day the lion comes and eats the goat, and he comes closer and closer and closer until the 10th day, when the goat is right there, he's able to be right there, and he nurses the goat. And that's what happens. So he's not able to nurse the lion, using the goats to get its trust and proximity to the lion. What ends up happening is he's on his way to return to the king, and in his dream, he has a very fascinating dream. There's a discussion which is had by his bodily limbs, and each one of them is boasting how he had achieved this. So the legs said, oh, look at this, we managed to get there, we managed to get close to the lion. And the hands said, well, we're the ones who milked it. And then the eyes said, well, you know, because, well, we were the ones who showed him how to get there. The lave says, no, we are the ones who had the idea in the first place. And the tongue then speaks up and says, you know what, I am more important than the rest of you. And they all laugh at the tongue, and they say, ah, tongue, you had no involvement in this. You live in a dark cave and don't do too much. So the next day, what happens is he comes to the king. The king says, what is this? And the man answers, before he can say anything, his tongue emits the words and says, this is dog's milk. So the king says, well, I'm on my deathbed, you're playing games with me, and throws him into prison for death sentence the next day. That night, all the limbs are once again in the dream, and they're all crying to the tongue. They're saying, we see you, that you're so powerful, please help us. And the tongue the next day says, when he comes in front of the king, and the king asks him if there's any last statements he wants to make, he says, you know what, in my language, a lion is called a dog, and it really refers to a hound, and it refers to the lion, and therefore it releases them. And it's in conclusion of this that the Midrash quotes this pasuk in our Tehillim, and that is again the Bilshoni Eshmara Lefi Machson Be'od Rosh HaLenegdi, the most powerful of all the limbs is ultimately the tongue, and this mizmor is expressing just how powerful and destructive and constructive at the same time that mouth and that tongue can be. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.